Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of Mason-Dixon Line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire.
All right. Welcome to the Live from the Fire. North Dakota, tagged out tour edition. I'm here with Casey Knight and Eli House. Fellas, today's not been a great day for me. Yesterday was a great day for Eli. We can't really share everything, but Eli was able to punch his tag. Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
Casey, you're a hunter now.
Yes, I am.
Been filming for Johnny all week.
Yep.
Filmed him kill one. So that was cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
What y'all think about North Dakota so far?
I think it's wildly different from anything I've ever hunted.
Yep.
Like, I mean, we have ag in Kentucky, but not to this extent. And, I don't know, just the landscape really flat in most places. And then you just got, all of a sudden, just big rolling hills, gorges. It's really pretty, but kind of daunting at the same time.
Hard to figure out what the deer are actually doing here.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem super relatable from what they do back home. Like back home, I can hunt those hard edges and, benches. And benches are still a thing here, for sure. But it is really all based on what's planted where. Like, they're using those slopes. And it seems like specifically they're using them on like either beans, corn, some sugar beets maybe. Is there any other crop that it seems like they really like?
No. Yeah,
the canola, they bed in it maybe. But I don't really think so unless there's something else beneficial around. It doesn't seem like anywhere we've been that has the wheat or the canola planted hasn't really been all that great, but you go somewhere with beans planted, even though they're yellow right now, it still can be pretty good.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of deer around the beans.
Yeah.
North Dakota's been, I mean, obviously, you know, me and Johnny, we filled our tags, but we were both buck hunting the entire week until the last day, basically, or last 2 days. And it's been a lot harder, I feel like, here to figure out what the deer, like you said, what the deer are really wanting to do. It's kind of like they're just doing one thing one day and a completely different thing the next day.
And like a different, like Jake Leishen, he was the one who was like, man, those bottoms are solid. Like the bottoms with the cattails, that's where the deer are coming out of. And I think they were, and I think some of them still are. But I do think they might have shifted a little bit, like while we've been here, as velvet starts to come off and they start to split up. Like it's definitely a hard time to hunt because there is such a big transition that happens. It's harvest season here in North Dakota, so they're harvesting a lot of stuff, and that changes the landscape for these deer. And obviously the velvet coming off, and then the weather is odd here.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It's really odd. It's like hot, kind of, and then cold, but also it feels like it's October outside. Like it looks like it's October. The leaves are already changing, and like we're gonna go back home, and it's gonna be
80 degrees.
80 degrees and green. Everything's gonna be just green.
It feels like hunting mid-October back in Alabama here. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what
like
I thought.
It's kind of like a weird time of year to be in the woods.
Well, I want to tell a story because, I mean, it just happened. So, talk about deer doing weird stuff and feeling like it's October. So I had an encounter with a decent buck tonight, a nice velvet 8-point, and backstrapped the heck out of him and screwed it all up. But you guys are used to that by now. But here's the crazy part. He was grunting at this doe and like chasing her like it was the rut. He wasn't like chasing her, but he was just on her tail and grunting in velvet. Isn't that wild?
It's weird.
It's weird. I got it on film. I hope you can hear it. But then he walked perfectly into my shooting lane and I screwed it up like I usually do on velvet bucks. So not super out of the normal. I'm pretty pissed off. I'm pretty mad about it. We've been hunting for a week and not had a lot of opportunity. I saw a really nice buck at 30 yards a few days ago. I've hunted him a couple times again and have not seen him again. And so this opportunity for me was, you know, like it was kind of a big deal. We knew that these bucks were in there, and maybe not this particular buck, but we knew that there were bucks that were using it, and I found the right spot, tons of rubs, scrapes galore. That's the craziest thing too. Like they're still in velvet and there are a pretty significant amount of rubs and scrapes. Well, the rubs are from them probably shedding velvet, but the scrapes are not. Anyways, it's he came into 19 yards and just ducked me, and I didn't hold low enough. And it is what it is. I have got to do better. But I think moving forward, I'm going to start looking a whole lot more at funnels. At those, like, obvious funnels. Almost rut funnels.
Yeah.
For the rest of this trip. Like, another guy, Johnny. Not Johnny, Quebec Johnny, but a guy from Michigan that was here at the campground. They were talking about hunting a lot of oxbows and that working out. They killed two bucks out of their group. So it's definitely something that could work. I just feel like the landscape here, like you have crops, and like you said, Casey, you've got gorges and like steep elk country.
Yeah.
And elk in it.
Yeah. A lot of elk.
With lots of elk in it. And then you just got this open, flat North Dakota farmland that you think of when you picture North Dakota.
Yeah, right.
It's so different all over the place. And I think you and Johnny did something right in that y'all just kind of kept going into the same type of area and just learning what the deer were doing in that particular area.
He was buck hunting at the beginning, and we were just kind of all over the place. And then finally, toward the end of the trip, he was like, just wanted to shoot any deer, didn't care if it was buck or doe. And we had really noticed that every time we would sit near a bean field or overlooking a bean field, and there would be like oak trees kind of overhanging, dropping them in, they were always there. They never weren't there. So it's like, we figured them out that way, and that's kind of how Johnny got his.
Tag field?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what a lot of the does are doing, but I feel like the bucks, I mean, they're using the beans, but I feel like they're also skirting the beans, just using around the edge, like kind of like you were hunting, like on the benches or on the pinch points around them.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. I mean, the buck that Jake shot a couple days ago, he kind of just walked through the beans at first, or pretty early. I think he said it was like 7 o'clock.
Wow.
And he just went walking through the beans and then entered the wood line, kind of similar to what this buck tonight did. You know, just wasn't really in the beans. It didn't seem like for any particular reason. He just went in there to see that doe and saw she was in there and wanted to follow her around. He may have been bedded with her. He may have been bedded in those beans because he just kind of appeared out of nowhere. And if that's the case, then that would be the fourth deer I've seen bedded in the beans. But Southern guys that are listening to this probably need to understand that, like, we're not talking about like chest high beans like we've got down south. Even in Kentucky, is that how it is where you're at? The beans get up to like your chest and you can't really walk through them when they're super green?
I mean, not around my area. Usually they're pretty like knee level.
Okay, it's a stop sign.
Woo. All right, we're turning.
Car turn left. Yes, sir.
Casey's running stop
signs. Podcast got me not paying attention to the road.
Woo. We're just going to run straight into the woods.
We were. Casey was not going to let up.
Anyways, it's going to be uncut, so everybody's going to get that. What were we saying? Funnels, beans.
Talking about Jake's.
Oh, knee-high beans.
Oh, yeah, the knee-high beans.
I've always noticed. I mean, I've never seen any chest high in Kentucky, but I mean, they're higher than they are here.
Yeah, these beans are pretty low. They're like...
they're like ankle high here.
Ankle high, yeah. All of them are, and most of them are pretty much dried out and done by now.
One thing I've noticed here about the beans is like back home when you like, obviously we don't have a bunch of bean fields, but the places that they are, like in your corners and stuff, they're really, really, really browsed down. Mm-hmm. Like there's no foliage here. It's like you can tell where they browsed around, but it's kind of just random spread out all throughout the bean fields because they're so big, I guess. But it's not like they're just hammering one spot.
No, they're not. Like these two deer, like they're just kind of randomly out there in the beans for a little bit. Just randomly placed. Seemed like they just popped up out of nowhere and then eventually worked their way down to that trail. But this is weird hunting for me, man. It's fun. It's good hunting, I think. Once you figure it out, once you kind of figure out the system and the patterns, I think it can be really good here. Because I think there's a lot of bucks. There's definitely more bucks than maybe not what you have at home, Casey, but where me and Eli are, this place beats the heck out of it as far as buck encounters. You're going to turn right here, going towards Wahala.
It's just...
not it.
Like you were not saying, it is.
Keep going.
It is a lot different. And I think it's just the terrain out here that makes it, like, I think I overthink it, personally. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I just think I overthink how to hunt here. Mm-hmm. And it's not as hard as we make it.
Yeah.
You just
Alabama, or the South in general, can kind of make you overthink things in states like this that really don't have to. I've said it a lot in the past on podcasts. It's like going to Kentucky. It's kind of like hunt dumb, you know. And out there, you kind of can get lucky on the bean fields. I don't think that's the case here, though. I don't think it's dumb hunting. I don't think it's easy hunting. I think the deer are maybe a little bit less skittish and less pressured, and there's really good potential. They have so much good food that their antler growth is pretty incredible. Like that deer that I shot at tonight was probably a 2.5-year-old 8-point, and he was probably, I don't know, I'm terrible at judging. The velvet makes him look bigger. He was probably like 110 inches maybe. And there are those type of deer in Alabama and in the South, but he was definitely like a bigger buck than you would normally see.
Yeah.
In Alabama.
You might hunt all year back home and never see a deer like that.
Exactly. Even the deer you saw on opening day, the buck you saw on opener, Eli, like.
Yeah.
That's the deer that you shoot in Alabama every single day.
Any day, rifle, bow, doesn't matter.
Yep. But it's been an interesting week. We're dirt bagging.
Dirt bagging tour.
The campfire or the campground doesn't have any water or bathrooms or showers at the moment. Somebody probably from Wisconsin or Minnesota or Michigan or something.
Northerners.
Ruined them. So we don't have showers, and we also haven't, I mean, I haven't been able to take a dump in like 3 days. So it's dirt bagging here. We're dirt bagging. What do y'all think of the tour so far?
I think it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. It's, you know, it's new. Obviously, like, I think all of us get along really well, but it's kind of a struggle hunting with different people.
Yep.
That you've never, like, hunted with before, and you're just jumping into 7 days being with them and them only for the most part, you know, besides back at camp. It's just something you have to get used to. But yeah. It's been fun. It's been an experience, and I've really enjoyed North Dakota so far.
It's different. It's different than I thought it would be, but not in a bad way. You know, obviously, because I thought we were going to be on the bus, but we're not this year. We're in a tent. And I think that adds a little bit, you know, the whole dirt bag, whatever you call it, theme. I think that's a pretty cool concept.
But also the bus.
I guess that was dirt bagging too, yeah.
From what I understand, the bus was not great
to
live in. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I think the only plus to the bus is going to be like when it gets late October, mid-November, and it's cold as crap, and we're sleeping in that tent.
Yeah,
going
to have to get some butt eaters.
Yeah.
Or cuddle with each other.
It always goes to that, Casey. It seems like hugs and cuddling seem to be like,
hey, man, Johnny brought up the two or three man sleeping bag.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't joke about it, then it might actually be true. So.
Or maybe it's that if you joke about it so much, at some point, people wonder if it's just true. I think that's how it works. So we got Johnny on. Johnny's French-Canadian. And he is very particular.
Oh, yeah.
About, you got to hunt with Johnny for like a week.
Yeah.
Film for him.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. What was that like?
He is very particular about everything. He takes it very seriously. He has his own way of doing things that he doesn't really stray away from. Like, he wouldn't let me pee 70 yards from the truck. I had to walk back to the truck because I had to pee. And we were still like 150, 200 yards from where we were hunting. You don't want to whisper too loud because, you know, deer might hear you. You don't want to move your head too fast or your hands too fast. They might see you. But
How many minutes of screen time did you say?
15 minutes of screen time per hunt. So you can't be scrolling through TikTok too much. No, but I mean, I respect it. I do. I think that
he's devoted, man.
Yeah, he's really devoted to it. He wants to kill deer. So I can respect that. Yeah, and he did. He earned it for sure. Working all day, every day for it. So.
Yep.
Well, I think it's kind of good to have someone like that on the tour.
We're at about the halfway point, and I should be tagged out by now, and I'm not. But I hope to be at some point.
You'll get one.
That one hurt tonight. It hurts. I'm trying to have a good attitude, and at some point, you just kind of get used to it. I have done, for people listening to this, I have done everything I know. Like, I've spent so much time with my bow. But it's not just bow hunting for me. It's just, it's hunting. Like, I miss deer with a rifle the same way. And it always seems like it's the chip shots. The easy ones that should be. And I went through my whole process this time. I was consciously, like, I never zoned out. I remember everything. And I felt like I was good. And I guess he just... I guess... I don't know how far he actually ducked. I don't really want to watch the footage again. But... man, I don't know. I don't know what else to... It just always happens with velvet bucks. Those opportunities like that, it's always pretty easy opportunity, and it just happens. It has literally happened with every single decent velvet buck I've shot at, so... We'll end this podcast with that, unless you boys have any final words on the live from the Fire Tagged Out Tour edition.
It's going to be a blast. We got a long road ahead, but Parker's going to tag out, and I feel like Casey's going to kill one, too. I honestly feel like Casey's going to end up shooting a buck, and he's going to be one of the only, if not the only one of us, to shoot a buck. And I feel like Blake's also going to feel his tag. Blake's pretty determined. I just don't know how it's going to go between him and Johnny.
Blake's not going to kill a buck, just me?
No, he might. He might. I know he's going to feel his tag, though. But I feel like you might end up shooting a buck. I don't know if it'll be out of luck or what. But, I mean, I'd rather be lucky than good. That's
all
one
day.
Thing I've heard a lot on this tour so far is I'd rather be lucky than good. So,
well, boys...
Sorry about tonight, Parker.
It's all good. It'll be okay. I'll be all right. I just need to redeem myself, and that always seems to be the case. Every year. Every season. Fellas, let's get back to camp. I'm tired. I need to sleep. I'm probably going to have terrible sleep, but...
Yeah. I need some crackers and water in my stomach.
So. Crackers and water.
Probably gonna eat crackers and milk.
Crackers and milk.
Gosh, do we have any cereal? That's what I want.
I think Blake has some. You can nab some from him.
Probably will.
I think he's got Fruit Loops.
I'm going to, definitely. All right, signing off.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.